4 seconds left. Ducks back after it. Have to flip it in. Off of Stolarz' pad. And the fans with a resounding boo format because they thought the Ducks had scored a goal. So did we up here earlier in the period. They say no goal, and the Ducks fall a man short, at least a goal short. 2-1, the final score.
Well, the emotions of this hockey game. I mean, from a Ducks team that was, for the most part, first two periods, being outplayed, they managed to fight back, and everyone, including myself, everyone up here in the booth, Honda Center, thought that that was a good goal. Jakob Silverberg wrapping that puck around, and oh boy, you know, just everyone thinking that it was indeed a good goal. Was not. It was called back, and you just got to give credit to this Ducks team on how they handled that. I mean, to think you scored and have it called back, the way they played after that in response, you know, this team continues to just have that belief and fight till the very end.
All right, we're going to keep it here. Emerson and I will discuss things for a couple of minutes, and then it's off with Alexis Downey, Emerson Edom, for our postgame show. I wanted to get one thing in here before we start this postgame show. Kids are kids, even during a pandemic. That's why Chalk's doctors, researchers, nurses, and staff work tirelessly to advance exceptional and innovative pediatric care with safe and convenient outpatient locations that offer preventive care and specialty services. And by the way, two children's hospitals in Orange and Mission Viejo, Chalk dedicated to keeping kids happy and healthy. Learn more about Orange County's only pediatric health care system at chalk.org. So now we're in the record books with the start of the homestand. Tough loss. The main question that comes to my mind, Emerson, is how do you rebound from a tough loss like this?
Well, you got to look at these past two games, including this one here tonight. Look, you got taken advantage of, lightly put it, by the Colorado Avalanche last game. You got to think that they learned a little bit from that. It was certainly a better performance, not maybe the full 60 minutes that they needed, of course, for the win here tonight. But look, an unfortunate performance against Colorado that last game. You come in tonight to only lose 2-1 and have a good third period like that. Not saying that those first two periods were pretty by any stretch of the imagination for the Anaheim Ducks, but look, if you're going to build off something, look how you played there this whole third period, and you know, work on it, go from there.
Well, this Florida team, not a bad team. They moved to 11-5-1. They're up to 23 points with a loss. The Anaheim Ducks are now 9-8-0 with 3 games left in the homestand, including one on Sunday against the St. Louis Blues Hockey Club, and then the Montreal Canadiens come to town, followed by the L.A. Kings before a short road trip to Edmonton and Vancouver. Well, kind of disappointing. I mean, I thought the effort was there in the third period, and yet to have that controversial call. And I still want to get a close-up look at that to, you know, get a sense for how we feel about it. But it's done. It's in the past, and they took a long time to decipher it. And I know you and Alexis will talk a lot about it. But it's a shame that we didn't just get a break there to where we wouldn't have to go to that video for a final decision.
Well, what transpired there for the solid Anaheim Ducks play after that non-goal there, you know, just the fact that they stayed in it and they were fighting. You like to see Mason McTavish, even though he got a penalty against there, you know, that was a time in the hockey game where you just saw the energy, you saw the passion, and there was a purpose to it. Look, there was a couple hacks to his back. He goes out, fends for himself, and, you know, I thought that really set the tone for this Ducks team that, hey, look, we're not going to be pushed around here. We're going to fight till the very end. They did just that, and hey, the effort was there.
Yep.
Was it there for the full 60? But no, but you got to just, hey, you got to tip your cap to this Ducks team who fought that third period, outplayed the Florida Panthers in that third period. It wasn't enough, but the effort was there.
All right. Well, we'll let you go and get a breather for, what, a minute or two before you go back to work here. Good job tonight. Vic Pence and, of course, Rick Cutler, on-site engineer as well, and all the folks back at Skyview in the state of Arizona. And don't forget the next game coming up on Sunday against the St. Louis Blues. So one final reminder before we go to break, and Emerson's with Alexis. Ducks hockey tonight and all season long, brought to you by UCI Health. Stopping at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. And a very special night. This is a special night we enjoy once a year. Hockey Fights Cancer Night, presented by UCI Health. Just some tremendous people involved in helping other people. And, you know, the stories that you hear on a night like this, prayers and best wishes to all of you who are battling this. But a special night, I think, well-received by all the fans, players, and everybody else involved. So the final, Florida 2, Anaheim 1 for all of us up here in the booth. So long. Stay tuned. Great postgame show coming up with Emerson Edom, Alexis Downey, and then we'll talk to you on Sunday. You've been listening to Anaheim Ducks Hockey on Duckstream tonight, and we hope you enjoy the entire broadcast and look forward to the one on Sunday. So long for a while from Honda Center here on Duckstream.
Oh, that would be so beautiful. I could use that. I appreciate it.
That's the sound of Paula getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be giving her yard a professional makeover. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the 2024 CR-V. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
This year, Hockey Fights Cancer marks its 25th anniversary, a quarter century of making a difference while raising over $32 million. We are thrilled to announce a groundbreaking partnership between the NHL, NHLPA, and the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Hockey Fights Cancer, powered by the V Foundation, will supercharge fundraising and accelerate cancer research, working to achieve victory over cancer. 100% of your donation goes directly to research. To join the fight, visit HockeyFightsCancer.com and donate today.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/ducks.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water, nothing else.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then, one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money, so he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Avoid the penalty box. Parking at Honda Center will look a little different this season, so know before you go. Be sure to review all updates, maps, and more at HondaCenter.com/parking to reserve your spot today.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Stay tuned for the Anaheim Ducks postgame show, up next on Duckstream. Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Stay tuned for the Anaheim Ducks postgame show up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show, exclusively streaming on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio home for the Anaheim Ducks.
Welcome into the Anaheim Ducks postgame show. Alexis Downey here with you. Also, Emerson Edom joining me in this Honda Center perch that we're sitting on. Man, I can't believe
we'll be okay, AD. We'll
2-1 final. Maybe could have been a tie game. Maybe could have seen overtime. I don't know. We have a bit to get to in this game. I know you guys have also been texting us. We've gotten a lot of messages about the end of this game, especially in that third period. So plenty to get to in this one. But Emerson, let's first start and just go through the game. Let's go through the goal calls, and then we'll get into some more of the analysis of what we saw in the end of it. So starting in that first period for the Ducks, not exactly the best start for them, as we've seen a little bit of that as of recent. And the Florida Panthers getting on the board first. E2 Lostarinen getting the goal, backdoor off a pass from Anton Lundell.
And there's one, a goal scored by the Florida Panthers. It looked like maybe there could have been a little bit of miscommunication back there. Gibby was off to the side, and then the puck was maneuvered in front of the net, and Florida will get the game's first goal. Lostarinen will get credit for it, and it's a 1-0 Panther advantage.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be too long after that Florida got another one on the board. Oliver Ekman-Larsson getting another pass from Anton Lundell. He would have two assists in this game, and the Panthers would get ahead 2-0.
Chipped into the boards, and Florida gets a turnover. Tries to throw it in front. A shot. They score on a wicked shot by veteran defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And it's a 2-0 Florida lead with a minute 54 left in this first period.
Well, Emerson, despite our prediction that there would be over 10 shots on goal for the Ducks in this first period, they got exactly 10. So that didn't really work out on our DuckStream Twitter poll.
You know, it didn't, but look, it was better than maybe in that Colorado game,
yeah.
Right? Where
yeah.
So hey, baby steps, right back at to, you know, where this high-flying Ducks team has been playing just in this last, you know, 10-plus games. I mean, they've put together quite the stretch, and when you set those standards of really solid play, it's tough to maybe remember some of the early hiccups and tough breaks that this Anaheim Duck team faced there really early on the season, where they kept it close, but just when the final buzzer rang there, they weren't coming out with the 2 points. You could just kind of see it within these past two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just maybe throughout this great stretch, as I mentioned, you know, these last two efforts, as far as 60-minute hockey games, it hasn't maybe been their best. But look, bright spot, third period was pretty lights out.
Mm-hmm.
They completely took over this game. Not going to go any further. I know we got some very emotional fans here putting their emotions on full display. Many obviously going against that non-call there. Thought it should have been a good goal there. So I got to zip it because I don't want to say anything that I'm not supposed to say.
All right. Well, so moving into that second period, Ryan Strome had quite a game. 7 shots on goal through this entire game for him. He had 2 great chances in the start of that second period, and breakaway out of the box, and some big saves by Anthony Stolarz.
Still pressure coming, another blast coming, and a block of a shot there. I tell you, Brock McGinn, wrist, leg, arm, and all kind of injuries there, getting in front of the pass. A breakaway for Strome, shoots, a rebound! Oh, the second shot hit the post after he was stopped by the goaltender on the first attempt.
As I said, Ryan Strome having a big game tonight. He had 2 shots on goal after that first period alone. Just a bummer he wasn't able to put that one in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Anthony Stolarz, he really came to play. He had, as I mentioned live on the broadcast there was a couple weird bounces, one that he jumped. He left the ice there, leaving. I think he got up probably a solid 6 inches at least there, trying to track a puck. There was a long bomb even before that, that it was tough for him to manage. Weirdly took an awkward bounce off his left pad there. And besides that, I mean, that's really all you saw, and those were just weird bounces. He really came to play. So did Gibby. Gibby, I mean, just allowing only two goals against. I mean, how well this Florida Panthers team played through the first two periods and only get two goals against, and the block shots from the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, look, you know, It was a goalie and defensive effort when it came to just sheer blocking shots, selling out, getting into the shooting lane. You know, that's where the effort was on full display there for the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, talk about those block shots. 29 by the Ducks in this game, and I'm pretty sure that it ties a season high for the Ducks in this one. So, lot of block shots there.
And to your point, you know, it was 28 at the end of the second, right?
Yeah.
So it shows you where that game went. I mean, of course, if you're in control of the puck, in control of the play like they were for the full third period there, the Anaheim Ducks, you have to the block shots less, right? You don't have to get in the shooting lanes as much as you were when it was that puck was in full control of the Florida Panthers there for the first two periods. So, hey, it's not like that effort wasn't there. Oh, boy, ran into some controversy there midway through the third or roughly midway through the third there. And, you know, you can't count out this Ducks team. They'll leave it out on the line till that final buzzer.
Last note on the block shots and to Ilya Lyubushkin having 5 of them, and then also Radko Gudas 4 of his own. So great stuff on the blue line. And then moving into that third period, there was a pretty big hit by Mason McTavish. I was like, okay, Mason, just big hit behind the net, turned into a scuffle, and Steve had the call of that.
Onside, and Mason McTavish gets into it. Now Lyubushkin's there. We'll have to take a close-up look. Vetrano is paired off, and Vetrano just threw a right punch at Barkov, who's out on the ice. We just noticed that. Or is that Lundell? It might have been Lundell behind there. McTavish is upset. The officials have their work cut out for him. A big, big scrum here. Every Florida player, every Ducks player, except for the two goaltenders, is in that corner, moving each other around, trying to throw a punch. And it's about to end, and we'll see who gets the most penalties.
They call Mason McTavish a bulldog for a reason, and that's exactly what happened on that play.
Yeah, you know what, and I gave props to Mason McTavish on the broadcast. I thought it was great to just see that natural emotion from a player, right, who's typically not put in those situations. Mm-hmm. He's not small. He's got a good-sized frame as the National Hockey League player. He utilizes that frame from a puck protection standpoint so well. Some of his goals, just sheer fending off defensive players in and around the blue paint. And but to see him just be in a situation where, you know, there's a couple hacks to his back, couple cross-checks there. He gets into a situation where they meet behind the goal line there, and I love that response for him. And luckily for the Anaheim Ducks' sake, there was no goal against there with that penalty kill and fighting that penalty off. But look, Mason McTavish, I think that play, they were already playing well when that all transpired. I just think it took that whole bench to a whole nother level, and it took their offense along with it.
Yeah, definitely did, as Frank Vetrano then having a power play goal that's now 5 on the season for him, leading the team at 7:39 into that third period.
And the JMG power play continues here, midway part of period 3. Vetrano out to Fowler, a shot, deflected, Stolarz a save, loose puck, Vetrano picks it up behind the net, throws it in front, Fowler a drive, and that's blocked in front by Lundell. Another chance for Fowler to Henrique, a shot, rebound, they score! And it's number 77, Frank Vetrano on the doorstep, the goal to cut the Florida lead to 2-1.
That's got to feel good against his former team, Frank Vetrano, cutting the lead in half. And now we get to the part that we're going to have a lot more discussion about after the break, but the no-goal sequence. Jakob Silfverberg behind the net, a nice wraparound. We thought, you know, maybe that went in the net. They stop it. And the rest is, you know, let's just take a listen to it.
Just play it, we'll discuss after. I'm still teed.
Bakanin into Gudas, and then a shot from way out. Stick to side by Stolarz, and a drive by Sam Carrick, who gets it again. Moves in around the defense. Now wraparound try. Stolarz, pad save. Big melee. Oh, did the Ducks come close to tying this game up?
Well, I tell you what, if I'm the Anaheim Ducks coaching staff, I'd be looking at those iPads, seeing what happened, and if that goal, that puck, did cross the line before Anthony Stolarz got his leg pat out. So, oh, it's on the Jumbotron. Can you see some white? I think that's a good goal.
Yep, here's a look up there one more time, trying to watch the TV replay, too. They're going to look at it. And it would appear that good things are in store for the Ducks on this call. We'll go down once the announcement is made. We're getting another look at it here. Oh, yeah, I think it's in. All righty, let's go downstairs for the call from the officials, and here it comes.
After video review, the puck did not cross the goal line.
Therefore, we have moved. Oh, my. That's the response from the faithful here. And it's still 2-1 for Florida.
All right, Emerson, that would be the final score, 2-1. The Florida Panthers winning the game. It was a no goal. And we're just going to leave with this text message, go to break, and then we'll come back and discuss it. A text messaging message saying, "Dear Mr. Royal Duck, that was a goal." All right, we'll be back after the break.
Every Honda Center event from the best seats in Orange County. Annual premium club seats are the best way to entertain your most important clients, best friends, your family, and yourself. Events of all sorts come to Honda Center year-round, so there's something for everyone. Spend less time parking, finding your seats, and buying concessions, and more time enjoying all the amenities of the Pacific Premier Bank Club level. Get our latest club seat offers today at hondacenter.com/clubseats.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Orange County for the first time in 6 years. You'll see WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins.
Who's the kid now?
The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
May the best man win.
Nia Jax. The main event, Jey Uso. Oh. Damian Priest. Becky Lynch.
I am the man.
And more. Honda Center, 4:30 p.m. Monday, February 19th. Tickets start at just $25 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
To most people, a flashlight is just a light. But to Gettle Air Conditioning and Plumbing customers, it's a beacon, illuminating the way to total home comfort and peace of mind. And when that flashlight comes on, our values shine bright. We respond quickly and get the job done right. From complex plumbing and sewer repairs to Sadie-certified AC installations, Gettle's got this. Visit us online at Gettle.com. G-O-E-T-T-L. There's no one better, but it's hard to spell.
CACLA 125-674-EM-433-90.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry Beckett scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to the post-game show here on Duck Stream. Alexis Downey and Emerson Edom with you. And we know you guys have been texting us. We see all of them. And now we're going to finally address some of these messages. And if you feel like you haven't had a chance to text us yet, you can at 714-940-2950. All right, so the first question that we received from someone, and I thought it was kind of an interesting question. Why didn't Coach Cronin challenge the no-goal call?
Well, and I'm going to address that, but Anaheim Duck faithful, stay calm. Stay calm. We don't want any, no flipping cars out there, no arson. There, no.
Like, no climbing street poles.
We heard you. We understand. I understand. But let's just take a deep breath. And just know that, boy, there is some serious questions that need to be answered. We're with you. We hear it. And just going back to this text here, a great answer. Hey, you know, why wasn't it reviewed by the Anaheim Ducks coaching staff? And you know what? I just you got to think that they took enough time on the initial review. I don't know what the exact time was, but it seemed like over 2 minutes. It might have been three, might have been four.
I think it was like three minutes.
Yeah. So you got to just, you know, maybe come to the conclusion that it was enough time for them to review it initially that, you know, probably the point was made. I mean, how much more time do you really need to watch it to get a definitive answer? Now, the thing is, it's one of those things where we've seen those goals that are disallowed or allowed that where it's just definitive. We can all, for the most part, win or lose, just accept that it was the right call. But, man, it just everyone was in Honda Center, including ADs, you know, Steve, you know, myself, looking at that screen. And, my, like, you saw the and I might have to just kind of twist my words and say it looked like as if you saw the white ice on the other side between the puck and the goal line that is in the net, that white ice, red line, white ice, and then puck inside the net that made it definitive from that overhead camera angle. I mentioned that it would be hard to, by looking at the face of the net, if you're looking head on towards Anthony Stolarz, that net there, that you can't really be definitive because you don't know the depth of the puck, if it's raised, how far back it is. But from that overhead view, which I'm assuming, and maybe, who knows, AD, is if there's another angle that we don't have access to or that's not shown on the Jumbotron, then, you know, that poses a different set of questions so, you know, but bottom line, the call was made. Hey, we're right there with you. We want more answers, and just stay calm. Just stay calm, Ducks fans.
You say that, but we did receive a text that said, man, the way that ref took away our second goal, not only did it break my heart, but it had me yelling like a T-Rex.
Oh boy!
Honda Center was pretty loud. After
yes,
that one.
It was like a mob. It was like a mob mentality, and they were out to just let just the whole world know that. Oh God, they thought it was a good goal. So hey, look, it's. I think this is just one of those calls where it's going to be talked about the next day, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those sequences that people are going to leave Honda Center or even watching on TV, listening to us on the radio. It's just one of those calls that it's going to be talked about amongst NHL fans for the next few days.
Another text here. I'm getting out my burn book and putting tonight's refs in it. I just thought that was really funny.
Okay.
Do you know that reference?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
once again,
sure.
once again, Ducks fans, look, we can't have we need to be better. We need to be the better ones to come out of all of this. And like I said, who knows? Maybe there is an angle, and we talk about, and I haven't referenced this in seems like years, but the war room in Toronto, 1,000 cameras in one room, looking at those kind of calls and being a part of the discussion, whether it being a good goal or not. So there's a lot of angles, maybe some that we don't have access to that are being looked at. Who knows? But boy, the frustration lies, and you know, it would have capped off yet another comeback for the Comeback Kids.
I also thought it was interesting as Brian Hayward, who is a part of our Bally Sports broadcast, was between the benches during this game. So I'd be curious to know what he heard down at ice level during that whole sequence and just throughout the game in general, as it did progress in certain ways too. A couple more texts to get to. This one, the refs quacked that one. Not sure what view they were looking at. Do you have an explanation for the lack of a goal call from your Midwest Ducks fans? We kind of explained it a little bit already, but as we were sitting here, I decided to pull up the NHL's rule book for this season, and I feel like maybe this is the only line that really gives any gist of what a good goal is considered. So in the rule book, it says scoring a goal shall be scored when the puck shall have been put between the goalposts by the stick of a player of the attacking side from in front or below the crossbar and entirely across a red line the width of the diameter of the goalpost drawn on the ice from one goalpost to the other with the goal frame in its proper position.
Oh.
You know, and in thinking about that, it is kind of hard with the way Anthony Stolarz was on the ice to see that whole red line. So maybe that's a part of it.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, not only that great point there by you, Alexis, but there could very much well be a camera angle that we just don't have access to. Hey, the feelings are mutual between, you know, AD, myself, the fans.
Yes.
Hey, look, it's just a tough break.
Yeah.
But look, if there's anything to take away from that, at least third period, is look, you're going against a team that's made it so far last season, deep, and they really came to play, the Florida Panthers team, and just the fact that, you know, all the good stuff we saw from the Florida Panthers to turn the page and just completely turn it around into the third period. It would have been nice for the comeback, but you can't help but feel good things coming for this Anaheim Duck team.
A couple good text messages that we got kind of going off that note, Emerson. Someone saying, it was a competitive game. The Ducks played their best in the third, but they lost to them. They put up a strong fight against our Ducks. Oh, and the Panthers were there too.
Yeah, and it's so hard to just... God, the Ducks have had quite the stretch of solid play. They dropped a few close ones early on in the season, but we've been really spoiled this last stretch of wins, comeback wins, emotional victories. And it just kind of ties into tonight, too, right? It's almost like you're expecting now this Ducks team to just come back and tie it up, in this case, in the third period here. But God, it's just those emotions from those comeback wins, expecting that to happen again, it happening, or what seemed to be it happened again, and have that snatched away and not be the case was pretty tough to swallow.
All right, well, Mitch from Australia, first of all, shout out to Australia. That's so cool that you're listening all the way over there. He said, just wanted to know if there were any other controversial no-goal calls in Duck history that you can remember. Love you guys.
Oh, boy. I hope this is not a test. It kind of left me on a, oh, is this
we
a...
We might have to get back to him. Mitch, we're going to need to get back to you because off the top of my head, I don't know.
We're on it. We have not been good at our Twitter poll predictions, so you know what? We are going to leave it at that. Thank you for joining us. We will get back to you. Let's make a note, AD, to leave our Mitch, our good friend from Australia, just to know that we'll get back to him. We're going to do our research and make sure he's not trying to – no, I know he's just a very passionate fan from Australia. Thanks for joining us, Mitch, but we will get back to you at a later date.
John Ramirez here. The Ducks need to stop playing from behind. Comeback Kids are fun to watch, but being put in tough situations is heartbreaking. Yeah, tonight, I guess, was a good example of the heartbreak that can come when you are so close to getting there, and then it just doesn't quite go your way.
John, just to kind of piggyback off of what you said, I must say, like, a win's a win, right? And to me, just watch. Yeah, I'm up there with Steve and you, Alexis. We're broadcasting. We're talking about the game at hand. But from a sheer entertainment level, I mean, what a movie some of these comeback wins have really been, right? So it's like the comeback from, yeah, of course, you want to see even some of these past wins, them just, you know, win by the distance and create that separation and scoring and really not be stressed. Yeah, we could get a break from that. I get it. But to see just the effort level and the belief still there to be down from behind, in my opinion, a win's a win. And some of these comeback wins have just been so movie-esque that it's just been fun to be a part of. So, yes, John, I am 100% with you that, scoring first at times would certainly calm some of the emotions and probably offensively generate a little bit more momentum for this Ducks team. But you can't deny that some of these comeback wins have just been flat-out spectacular.
All right, one more before we send it to break, Emerson. Hunter Sawyer from California said, kind of going back to last game, he said, I felt like the Ducks let their foot off the gas in Colorado, and Trevor Zegras is a big part of the team, which they need. Yes, definitely has been evident that Trevor Zegras has not been in the lineup. He's someone that they've missed up front. They miss, you know, his offensive talent, his playmaking ability. And I know that, no, he hasn't necessarily put up the numbers yet this year, but he's still that presence up front.
Yeah, and Trevor, we need you back in the lineup. We look forward to having you back in the lineup because, Alexis, as you were saying, I mean, he could just really take over games. We've seen it last year. We know it's brewing here coming up this year. But, you know what, Jamie Drysdale, right? Like, there's been few key pieces. If you look at Alex Killorn and how long he was out and how that maybe would have affected some of those earlier close games, of course. I mean, having a guy out like that, a two-time Stanley Cup champion, perennial 20 goal scorer year after year. I mean, you know, it's tough, but at the same time, every team is dealing with injuries. Every team is dealing with setbacks. I mean, Brandon Montour, this is his first game back of this season, mm-hmm. right? So they've put together that record without him, and good teams just find a way to manage that adversity, come back, and just whether guys are missing or in the lineup, they just come prepared. So 100%, we need Z back, and we need Jamie back as well, because those are key pieces.
Well, I know that we seem upset about the goal call situation, because we are, despite us telling you to calm down, we are upset, but we get to hear on the other side of the break from our guys down in the locker room. Jakob Silverberg spoke to the media, so come back after the break to hear what he had to say.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
We were delighted to learn that the president's lawyers, the moment they found out about...
Sports.
Gotcha! Strikes quickly! The magic continues for
music.
TC.
Even podcasts. Whatever you love. Hear it right here on TuneIn. And be sure to ask your smart devices to play TuneIn.
Nothing sets the tone for your day like country hits. That's why TuneIn's exclusive Country Roads is here to make your journey just a bit better. With classic, feel-good country songs to bring summer vibes all year long.
This guitar about as hard as a pain.
To top 40 hits you just can't get enough of. TuneIn's Country Roads are your route for the best in country music. Just search Country Roads or ask your device to play Country Roads on TuneIn for a little Southern hospitality now.
Hey everybody, Mr. Yearwood here, inviting you to come hear today's biggest country hits, lots of your longtime favorites, and all the rising stars who are just tearing it up with their new music. And here's the best part, the easiest thing on the planet to do. Just search the Big 615 or tell your device, play the Big 615 on TuneIn, and bam, you're going to be enjoying some of the best music in the world. Made the way it was intended, direct from the place where country music lives. That's right, Nashville. It's the Big 615.
There's a lot to listen to on TuneIn.
Music.
Music.
Music. Music.
At 17 years old, working a part-time job.
Man, reaching over the railing, he caught it.
But if you want to discover some new favorites, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at TuneIn for all new recommendations. Who knows? You may just find your new favorite radio station. Follow us now and hear all the audio you love right on TuneIn.
Follow you.
Follow us.
Follow us.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Hey, Debbie, we got so much classic country music on our record shelves.
I'm listening.
What do you say we make another radio station? We'll celebrate guys like Stoney Edwards and O.C. Smith, guys who didn't get a lot of radio play back in the day.
And how about fearless gals like Tammy, Loretta, and Dolly, who paved the way for the female country singers of today?
Well, let's call it Country A Go-Go.
Yes.
Can you keep saying you got something for me?
Search Country A Go-Go or ask your device to play Country A Go-Go on TuneIn.
Back here with the Anaheim Ducks post-game show, falling to the Florida Panthers tonight. And as we've been sitting here, the shots on goal changed. The Ducks originally had the most in this game, 35, compared to the Panthers, 33. And now it's tied up on the board. So going to need to take a look at that. But we just got to hear from Jakob Silfverberg down in the locker room. He spoke to the media. He was the one whose goal was a no-goal call, according to the referees here. So let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Go ahead. Jakob, obviously you're not looking at it from a bird's-eye view with a thousand slow-motion angles, but I'm assuming you thought the goal counted, right?
I was telling Allie out there, initially I had to play a half, and I kind of had a feeling in the back of my mind that this one maybe snuck in there, but... looking at the Jumbotron, I think we all kind of agree on what we saw out there. But at the end of the day, you just got to respect the referees up in Toronto and whatnot. They have iPads. They got different looks to look at it. So you just got to trust that they're making the right call out there. And unfortunately, it didn't bounce our way this time. So it is what it is, and it's a tough loss. I think we played a great third period. So we definitely had a strong push there. And I don't think the call against us set us back anything either. I think after that, we responded well, and we just kind of kept on pushing. So obviously, tough loss tonight, but it is what it is. Maybe we'll get a bonus next time.
Looking at the game from a whole, obviously you guys go down 2-0 in the first period. Would you say that you guys are kind of maybe should have set the tempo a little bit more considering that they played last night?
I think anytime you want to come out with a jump and start, I think tonight wasn't as bad as in Colorado where we kind of got caught flat-footed, but obviously not the start we wanted the first period or the second period for that matter. I think we kind of worked our way in the second period, but if you want to put on a strong performance, I think if we can start like we did in third, I think we'll play some good hockey. And you could really tell that it felt like the ice was shifting our way in the third, and we just kind of kept having scoring chance after scoring chance. So obviously we're going to look to start like that next game. Thanks.
All right, that was Jakob Silfverberg after this Anaheim Ducks lost. The thing that stuck out to me was he did note the guys in Toronto. So maybe they did review it in Toronto, because that's kind of been our question, Emerson.
Yeah, and kind of like us, just, hey, everything, don't be getting into trouble after this verdict here. And, let's come out this, Duck fans and us up here, the bigger people. But, Jakob Silfverberg, like what a role model, what a just a great example of, you know what, the call's made, and I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me in any trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, there's no surprise. I mean, Jakob Silfverberg, he was a former teammate of mine during my time here with the Anaheim Ducks, and he's such a leader. He's so well-spoken. He comes across as so clean because he is so clean, and he's a leader through and through. I just loved his response. It was just mm-hmm. It was just such a response that, you know what, what's done is done. The call's made, there's nothing you can do about it. So I just thought it was a great interview in a time where, you know, he could have done, you know, just a complete reverse and, you know, just said maybe something that you regret down the line. Mm-hmm. But, hey, no, it is what it is. Maybe they got, like we've been saying, some camera angles in Toronto, some extra looks at it that we don't. And I just, hats off to Jakob Silfverberg in such an emotional time.
All right. Well, we also have for you head coach Greg Cronin, his immediate reaction following this loss to the Florida Panthers and what all he saw in this game. So now let's take a listen to that.
I really don't have anything to say. I mean, I think anybody that watched the replay can form their own opinion. I don't really know what to say. You know, I saw the same thing that 15, 16,000 people saw. And, I mean, I have to respect what they saw in Toronto, I guess. I don't know. I really have no comment. I have no control over it.
Was there any formal explanation given, or they just said Toronto made the call, or it was kind of an unusual one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the monitor, and then there's multiple angles, and I look at their bench, and it looked like they were getting ready to play a 2-2 game, and then... I don't know. I don't know what Toronto's looking at. I don't know what their angle is. So maybe they saw something that I didn't see. But they make the call. So like I said, I have no control over it.
Not too far prior to that, Frank's goal. I mean, not we all saw the goal, but he goes from the wall behind the net to the bumper, kind of occupying every position, playing with a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of emblematic of what he brings to the table offensively, and particularly?
Yeah, Frankie. Hey, we weren't very good. Let's be honest. The first couple periods, we were lucky. It was only 2-0. We had three breakaways that were off our penalty killing, and if our penalty killing hadn't been so good, it wouldn't even have got to a controversial ending, right? So we waited to the third period, I think we were going before we got the power play goal. We were getting some zone time, and then we played with some urgency and. It was too little, too late.
You talked about turnovers this morning and how you wanted to see the team cut down on it. Was that something that you saw them kind of work more on tonight?
I don't know. You're playing a team that's big, they're heavy, they're strong, they're a puck possession team, they're strong in their sticks. I think we had some giveaways in the first couple periods. But, I mean, look at the third period. We just put it in deep. We hunted pucks down. We got them back. We kept the puck. They're a really good team, really good defensively, so they keep everything to the outside. We flipping your question over, we didn't turn it over in the third period. We played a dumping and a chase and a hunt game, and we got pucks back, so... I don't know what was going on in the first couple periods, but it worked in the third.
Looking ahead to St. Louis, you're looking for more evenness of effort based on your comments, but what else are you hoping to sharpen up in the day here that you haven't turned around?
Well, we haven't practiced in a week, right? Yeah. So we'll get a good skate tomorrow. We got to try and, like, this team's funny. Like, we go in spurts. There's a fearlessness and a drive to our game when we have that in our minds, and you saw that in the third period, you saw it in the third period in Nashville. It's a little bit in the second period in Colorado. But when we play a measured game, we play on our heels, and that's what happened the first two periods. So as a staff, we've got to figure out a way to get our guys to play on our toes from opening faceoff.
Shuffled your lines a bit in the third
period. I did.
I haven't seen you do that an awful lot yet this season, just trying to find something.
Yeah, we just a couple games in a row, we're not getting any juice out of line combinations. And, that McTavish line was our line, our go-to line. There was some flatness there, and I just sensed that I should have done it earlier. I went to the three lines, and that was a game was kind of like a, when you're playing a team like Florida, where they've got the big bodies and there's puck battles. I just want to distribute some guys that win pucks naturally with guys that maybe are perimeter guys. Kind of worked.
All right, thanks, Kraft.
Okay.
Thanks,
Okay, Emerson. A couple things to dissect from this media availability that we just heard from head coach Greg Cronin. So he noted the penalty kill, doing great tonight, 4-for-4 there, some breakouts or breakaways off of that when they were coming out of the box. He also talked about the no goal. The one thing I think that I'm taking away from this is, you know, if you go back to that Pittsburgh game when he did get the game misconduct, you know, said some things with the referee, whatever happened in that game, maybe a bit of a learning experience for him there to bring into a situation like tonight where, you know, he put it in the hands of the league. He put it in the hands of Toronto. It sounds like that they did possibly make the call from Toronto. It wasn't exactly clear on that, but it sounded like that. And, you know, he just kind of said it is what it is.
Yeah, and going back to the PK, something that, as we just heard Greg Cronin touch on, I mean, I think when the season's over with, when this regular season is done, the PK tandems, forward D, whoever's on the PK, are going to be A-list celebrities. They're already celebrities in our book, but I swear they have been so good for so long. And they've gotten better and better. They've already been good this last bulk of 10 or so games, even earlier, but just they have put it together. Like I said, coach just touching on that there in that interview, they wouldn't have been in that position to even have it boil down to a controversial call if it wasn't for the PK's sake. And, mm-hmm. and so just yet another bright spot. You mentioned just the lack of practicing here in this last stretch. And hey, that has something to do with maybe some of these slow levels of the Ducks play. So that was great to hear. And I love both interviews. I mentioned how just great of a interview that Jacob Silverberg had regarding the situation, and just what a great interview from head coach Greg Cronin. He just he was kind of the bigger person in a situation that said, hey, I have zero control over the outcome. And I just thought it was a professional. Both interviews that we just heard were just the utmost just professional as it could have been. And it was two great interviews that during such an emotional and unfortunate situation for all of us that are part of this Ducks family, to see two guys that were a part of it really set the tone from, you know, how we should all react. And it's just a tough break. Didn't go our way, but it's time to look forward. And speaking of looking forward, this St. Louis Blues team is no slouch. I mean, they've beat just listing off a few of the wins here recently. Yeah, they dropped a 5-1 decision to the San Jose Shark. A little bit of a head scratcher because, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, are they the Stanley Cup Tampa Bay Lightning that we've seen in the past five or so years? No, they're not. Their record shows it. But hey, they're still the Tampa Bay Lightning. Look, they just beat an Avalanche team 8-2. Buchnevich talked about his poor levels of play a little bit early on. Now he's coming to life. They won against a strong Devils team a little bit earlier in the month. And so, look, the Anaheim Ducks need to turn the page quickly because they're facing a really good St. Louis Blues team here coming up.
And the Ducks will be practicing tomorrow as they get ready for that St. Louis Blues game. And one last thing I want to mention, as I really appreciate this text that we just got from one of our listeners. The NHL submitted a video from their situation room on why the call on the ice was a no goal. I just went and found it on the NHL Public Relations Twitter. Went to the link, and the explanation is the situation room initiated a video review to further examine whether Jacob Silverberg's shot entered the Florida net. There was no conclusive video evidence to show that Silverberg's shot crossed the Florida goal line, and thus the call on the ice was upheld. That is the NHL's explanation. That is what we have to live with and move on to the next day with. So, Emerson, what's your final quack for tonight? If you have anything to go off of that, or just anything in general for tonight.
My final quack is agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not as professional as head coach Greg Cronin or Jacob Silverberg were. I'm going to come out and try to be as soft as I can on this one. Agree to disagree.
I'm with you there. But I also will say that we will look back in the Ducks' history of no goal calls for our guy Mitch in Australia, and we will get back to you. That's my final quack for tonight. All right, guys. Well, thank you for being with us on this Anaheim Ducks postgame show. We appreciate it, and we feel you guys tonight. Not the way that we wanted to see this game end, unfortunately. But the Ducks have three more home games in the next week, and they have a pretty big one coming up. I'm not getting ahead of ourselves, in just 1 week from today. So one to mark your calendar for. But if you would like to hear the replay of this Anaheim Ducks and Florida Panthers game, you can keep listening after the break. We will have it for you. Otherwise, for Emerson Needham and Alexis Downey here at Honda Center, thank you for listening to the postgame show as it was on DuckStream, presented by Gettle and powered by TuneIn.
There's a lot to listen to on TuneIn.
Music.
At 17 years old, working a part-time job.
Man, reaching over the railing, he caught it!
But if you want to discover some new favorites, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at TuneIn for all new recommendations. Who knows? You may just find your new favorite radio station. Follow us now and hear all the audio you love right on TuneIn.
Follow us.
Hey, it's your friend Garth Brooks, and we've got a new station exclusively here on TuneIn called Tailgate Radio, which you're gonna love. Turn it on and turn it up for the perfect tailgate playlist on game day. Search for Tailgate Radio on TuneIn to listen.
Hey, music lovers, it's your friend Garth Brooks, and I want to personally invite you to listen to the world's first global country station, the Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. Join us to hear today's biggest country hits, lots of your longtime favorites, and all the rising stars who are tearing it up with their music. It's the very best of country music, all in one place. Just search the Big 615 or tell your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
There's just something about classic soul music that gets you moving. And TuneIn's exclusive Soul Groove Station has all the right moves. Hit play on the grooviest 70s selection. Get your masters in melody with Motown Classics. Or set just the right tone with smooth, soulful vibes from Marvin Gaye and more. It's all right here on TuneIn, ready to set the perfect 70s tone. Search Soul Groove or tell your device to play Soul Groove on TuneIn now to listen.
The biggest classic rock hits do just that. They hit hard. And on TuneIn's Classic Rock Hits, you'll find only the best in high-octane awesomeness. We're talking rock gods like Led Zeppelin, Kiss, AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and so many more. So for those of you about to rock, search Classic Rock Hits or ask your smart device to play Classic Rock Hits on TuneIn.
Hey, Debbie, we got so much classic country music on our record shelves.
I'm listening.
What do you say we make another radio station?
Yes. Check out our new station. Just search Country A Go-Go or ask your device to play Country A Go-Go on TuneIn.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Thank you.
That's the sound of Casey getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told him the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be replacing his old manual with. And we paid him for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the 2023 Accord. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you, and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
This year, Hockey Fights Cancer marks its 25th anniversary, a quarter century of making a difference while raising over $32 million. We are thrilled to announce a groundbreaking partnership between the NHL, NHLPA, and the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Hockey Fights Cancer, powered by the V Foundation, will supercharge fundraising and accelerate cancer research, working to achieve victory over cancer. 100% of your donation goes directly to research. To join the fight, visit HockeyFightsCancer.com and donate today.
Real country music. Yeah, Cody Johnson, live.
Saturday, January 20th, in concert at Honda Center. Country's best, Cody Johnson, in the Leather Tour, with special guest Justin Moore. Also featuring Dylan Carmichael on stage at Honda Center, Saturday, January 20th. Cody Johnson. In concert. VIP and reserve seats on sale Friday, October 6th, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com in the Honda Center box office. Cody Johnson in the Leather Tour. Special guest Justin Moore.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Get the best seats, the best savings, and the best benefits with an Anaheim Ducks Orange Alliance season ticket membership. Members can save up to 40% off box office pricing. That's the largest discount on tickets available. Plus, they get access to members-only exclusive events, no-hassle interest-free payment plans, 20% off concessions,